Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of B Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Come from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And we declared on Pentecost that God calls us to echo the sound of heaven. But in the same manner, when Adam was formed, he couldn't function until he received the breath, not from earth, but that which is of heaven. That's why Jesus teaches and tells us that whatever we want here to manifest and take place on earth as it is in heaven, there's a pattern. There's a model that God gives us. So he was made alive by that which is from heaven. And he couldn't do on earth that what he was supposed to do, or that what gives him purpose and the capacity to move, unless he carries that what comes from heaven. Amen? We need to move. You cannot function unless you carry that what comes from heaven. You need the Spirit of God. You need that breath. We breathe from heaven and we release the sound from heaven. That's how things align, because you cannot carry the breath of heaven and then release earthly things. When you carry the breath of heaven, it means that the sound that comes from you needs to be the echo of heaven. I want to get to the point, because we gather together and we called as a body, we called the church. But the church is one of our problems, and that's what God wants to breathe upon, because God breathes. In other words, his spirit is on certain things. God's everywhere, but he doesn't always breathe on everything. Aish, okay. Amen. God doesn't, so God's hand is everywhere, but God anoints certain things for certain times. Come on. So we need to see. That's why I can preach every Sunday great messages. But the question is it in season, in time? Is it relevant for where God is? Does God breathe upon it? Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? That we can do many things. We can work systematically through the Bible, all these things. But God breathes on certain things in certain times and certain seasons. And we need to become sensitive, because children of God are led by the Spirit of God, the Ruach, the Pneuma. So you carry the breath of heaven, you carry the sound of heaven, and you need to become aware of what you release must be the breath of God in that season. So it needs to be relevant. So you need to be aware of what you carry, and does God breathe upon it? Is there life? So the church is trying so many times to move on earth with things that's earthly and not heavenly. Okay, please go and watch afterwards and you'll get it. We cannot do here on earth without the breath of God. Come on. We cannot do what God calls us to do without his breath. And so often that's where we're stuck, is we're trying to move with earthly things instead of heavenly things. Jesus gave the pattern. He says, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There needs to manifest something. But do we see that on earth? We don't see the manifestation of all of that. It's because maybe we are not focused on where does God breathe and where does he bring life and what is heaven's agenda. We love our agenda and we like to move with our programs and our systems, but we need the breath of God to fill things. And if you don't know, these scriptures blessed me. Job was wise man. Look at Job 32, Job 33 and Job 34. Job 32, I don't know if that scripture is going to be on, so let's just read it. But Job 32 verse 8 says this: there's a spirit within people, the breath of the Almighty within them, that makes them intelligent. Come on, say praise God. Amen. I can testify, there was a guy, his name was James. He was like a beggar and moving around. When we were small, we stayed on a small holdings. And, I think he's got maybe grade 4, and he stopped going to school, and not very clever, and struggled, and drinking, and a lot of problems. But one day, he got born again. And I was astounded at the wisdom that he got. He became clever. I'm like, that's what the Spirit of God does. The breath of God makes you intelligent. Come on. So if you're struggling, you say, Lord, I just need more breath. All right? Take a deep breath. Amen? And see what happens. Maybe you can fill that void. No. Amen? But that's it. Job is one of the oldest books. I think it's the oldest book. And it says this, the breath makes you intelligent. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. That's where your life is, it's in the breath of God. Job 34:14-15, look at what he says, because we are made from dust. We come from the earth. He says, if God were to take back his spirit and withdraw his breath, all life would cease and humanity will turn again to dust. That's what Job declares. If we stop breathing, we become dust again. And out of the dust, God made man and breathed into him life. So Paul comes and he says, I don't come with a display of words, come on, with human wisdom and all my smart things. I come to display spirit and power. The reason that spirit and power happens is not because we're eloquent in speech, not because, you know, all these things, because that's human form. Without the breath of God. My question is how much do you try to move without the breath of God? Because Paul had spirit, come on. That Paul was a wise man. It made him intelligent. It made him wise. It made him powerful. But he comes and he says, it's not me. It's the breath of God that I carry. I can come with my earthly things and try to convince you and be clever and wisdom and all these technical things, because he says, I was the best of the Pharisees. He says, but I come with a display of spirit and power. Come on. He had the breath of God, and we need to understand the fact that air and breath and wind plays an important part. And as Adam was a body, that's why we are formed to function. Come on. The whole thing is God formed you, but that's just a small thing, the short sentence, form to function, because it's easy, né, to say. But the complete sentence is, you are formed to be filled so that you can function. You need to be filled. There's something Adam didn't function because he was formed, come on. It's only when God formed the container, but it's only when the container was filled with the breath of God that he started to function. God says, have dominion, rule, reign. It's only when you receive the breath of God, the life that he started to have dominion over. Come on. So the church, even us, is a body. And a body needs what? It needs the breath of God. It needs the breath to live. The body needs the breath of God. A body means also structure. Because if we speak about he made him, he formed his container, not the content. He formed the container and then he blew the content into him. And then he started to function. So that's what's happening. So the church, you see, we are a body. So we are a structure. But if it doesn't carry the breath of God, how do we function? Because the content is the breath of God. So we are empty and void and powerless because we don't carry the breath of God. So like a flute, it's a structure. But we need the wind to blow through the flute to make a melody, isn't it? But it's making a sound, but it's not a melody yet. Isn't it? When you blow through it, it's going to make a sound, but not a melody yet. What do we need for a melody? We need the fingers, like this, to function together in unity, in harmony. Otherwise, let me not say that word. The correct term is a cacophony. Okay? Asterix and Obelix, cacophonics, ne? All right. That's the correct term for not a melody. So we need structure for the breath of God. And like the day of Pentecost, when they were together in unity and harmony, one voice, one place, one mind, all these things, the body, like this, needs to be in harmony together to make a melody when God's breath is flowing through it. It's when every part tries to do his own thing that it's making a noise that's not beautiful. So even in this, when we carry the breath of God, we need to be in unity. Otherwise, it's a wrong sound. So have you ever wondered why God gave Adam breath but then caused us to keep on breathing? Who of you get tired of breathing? Why don't God just give us one breath of life and we live? Huh? Why is the need there to constantly breathe? Have you ever thought about it? You have to inhale and exhale. And some of us, we went through a lot of things in COVID, and when you don't have oxygen in your lungs, you know how much you need that and how much your body needs to move. Come on. It's inconvenient sometimes to breathe the whole time, but this is the thing. Whenever Adam breathes in and breathes out, he becomes aware of this. Because if we keep our breath 2 minutes, we're going to pass out. Ne? We keep our breath for 5 minutes, we'll all be dead. Isn't it? So there's a need to constantly breathe and move. This is the word. That's why we don't just have breath. It's because we need to move. There needs movement, because the breath of God brings movement. Whenever we stop having the breath of God, there's no motion, things start to die. That's why the church needs to carry the breath of God. And we need to become aware of where does God and what does God breathe upon. Because there's the movement and there's the life. And when God doesn't breathe on things, he's going to die. So we need to understand what's alive and where is God involved with. The body without breath is alive. So the church is called a body. And that's why we need the breath of God. But how many of the churches don't breathe anymore? How many of your churches maybe forgot to breathe, or they breathed one time and now they're holding their breath and they're actually dying? And what we do is we do it artificially, isn't it? We breathe with systems, human systems. We breathe with human thinking, because if there's no spirit and no life in it, we need to do other things to keep it alive. So now suddenly we have all these systems, and sometimes we borrow from the world, isn't it? God says, I come and I put you in the world, but that you can release the breath of heaven, the sound of heaven. And now because we don't carry the breath and the sound of heaven, we're trying to take the world system to artificially keep something alive. Instead of just taking that what is a life-giving spirit and release that. So we take strategies and systems, and then we say the church is breathing. We call that breathing. Instead of just what God is. That's earthly, it's not heavenly. So God comes, and what does he say again? Pray and ask what? He doesn't say pray and ask systems to inform your thinking. He says pray and ask your Father in heaven, and then heaven will come with a pattern. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. So it's in the kingdom of God. That's the thing. The system and what God has done is in his kingdom. That's why Jesus started to preach the message of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. He announced something. The kingdom comes. But how do you think the kingdom comes? The reason Adam breathes, and whenever he breathes in and out, this is the thing. He's reminded, and that's what us, when take a deep breath, blow it out. All right? Every time you breathe, you're reminded, although you are here on earth, come on, it comes from heaven. That's what's a reminder for us. Although you are here, it comes from somewhere else. But sometimes we forget to capture the wind and the spirit and that what God wants to do. So there's a breath of God in every season. We're going to build on this for a couple of weeks to continue with this. But I want to lay a foundation. Now we can get to that scripture. Thank you, Vainan. Oh, yeah, who's there? Bakang. Genesis 2:7. There's one breath. It says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Ezekiel 37:5. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath to enter you and you will come to life. John 20:22. And with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit of God. Are you aware of what God is breathing upon in every season? Do you know where God's breath is taking us in the season? So I want to speak on three things and then a couple of other things for the kingdom. But one, there's a breath that God releases that creates. There's a breath that creates. God formed man from the dust, but what did I say? He didn't become alive until God breathed into him. So there's a breath that we receive from God that creates. So form, and many times we're trying to uphold form, but form without breath is death. Form with no breath of life, with no spirit, is death. And a lot of us, we've got form, we've got structure. Come on, you've got a job, you've got a family, you've got a ministry, isn't it? You've got a structure, but you've got no breath. God wants to put the breath of that. In other words, you can function like a machine, but you're not truly living. You're not doing what God is telling you to do. We cannot live without the breath of God. Amen? So my question is, are you alive in God, or are you just existing in the shell of life? Or are you alive in God? So there's a breath that creates. There's a breath that revives. Ezekiel 37. The valley of dry bones, it's lifeless, it's dead, it's scattered, it's hopeless. And he says, I will make the breath to enter you and they will come to life. So God tells Ezekiel, he says, prophesy to the bones. Prophesy, and then the breath will come. And when the breath came, come on, the bones lived, it stood up, and what did it do? It became, the army arose. Amen? You're very quiet today. I won't take it personal. Just keep on breathing. All right? Or is this message breathtaking? Okay. Amen. Listen to this. In some seasons in our life, structure comes first, the bones aligned, but revival only comes when there's the breath of God. So we need the structure. So sometimes we need to put structure. He had to first prophesy life to the bones, and the structure came. And then again he says, yes, something's happening, but not there's no life yet. And then God tells him again, now prophesy, speak to the wind, prophesy the breath into them. And then he prophesied the breath into them. And then it says they became a living being, and an army arose. Come on. So God can breathe into dead things again. I want to tell you this morning, God can breathe into dead dreams again. God can breathe into broken relationships. God can breathe into barren churches. Come on. God can breathe into weary souls. God can do this. But don't just ask for change. Ask for the breath of God to come. Ask for the breath of God. So there's a breath that comes and revives us. But then there's a breath, because why do you have the breath? There's a purpose. Because he says, he breathed into him and says, now go and do. Have dominion, work, do all these things. Multiply. So the breath that revives and creates comes now, and then there's a breath that commissions you. That's where John 20:22 comes, because after the resurrection, Jesus comes and he breathes upon his disciples. And he says they receive the Holy Spirit. But that was just not a to give him comfort, because the Holy Spirit was the comforter. But what? When he breathed upon them, it was for commissioning. To send them with purpose, to commission them. Not just to breathe on them for comfort and all these things. Before Pentecost power came, what happens? Jesus imparts his spirit through his breath. So God's breath empowers you for purpose. Don't walk into a new season in your life without the breath of God on your assignment. You need to know that God is breathing on this thing in your life. There's a breath we need in every season. Come on, in springtime and seasons of growth, we need that breath of life, isn't it? But in dry seasons, we need a breath that sustains us. There's seasons where there's waiting seasons, and we need his breath to strengthen us. There's fruitful seasons where his breath needs to keep us humble, isn't it? To keep us in step with him. Even the word of God is described that it's driven by God's breath. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16, isn't it? That it's God-breathed. It's spirit, it's alive. Every time you open the Bible, the word of God, his breath meets you. It's a breath that blows. So we don't just need a new job. You don't just need a new plan or a new year's resolution and those things. You need the breath of God. That's what we need. God needs to breathe on things. That's why we sang that song this morning. Breathe on me, breath of God. Breathe on us. We breathe you in. We need all these things. That's what Moses said. We declared it in Exodus 33. That if your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going to move from this place. Wait for God. Wait for God and let him breathe. You see, without his breath, if we don't do that, ministries and all this, whatever you do is just like a machine. It's just going to be automated. It's going to be like a machine. There's no life in it. If you, as a family, don't carry the breath of God as a family, you're going to be fragile. You need the breath of God in your family. If you don't carry the breath of God, your soul is going to become dry. You need to carry that. But with God's breath, come on, life comes where there's death. God releases life. Clarity comes where there's confusion. Purpose awakens when there's despair because you carry the breath. So God's breath and kingdom is connected. Because God preached the message of the kingdom. So there's God's breath or his pneuma, the spirit, the ruach, represents his spirit, power, and presence. And then the kingdom represents his rule, his reign, and his authority. But those are connected because where God's breath moves, his kingdom is manifested. Where God's spirit moves, his kingdom come. That's why it says, when you see these things, you know the kingdom is among you. Where's the kingdom of God? So one, the breath of God initiates the kingdom. Again, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Before man could come and represent God's dominion, before he could rule and reign and have these things, initiate the kingdom, he had to receive breath from God. God formed him with all these things in mind that he's going to have this. But the breath of God initiates the kingdom of God. You cannot advance the kingdom without receiving the life of the king first. There's a good place to say amen. You see, the kingdom begins not with power or programs, but with divine impartation of life. That's where the kingdom starts. So there's a kingdom first. The breath of God initiates his kingdom. Then the breath of God expands his kingdom. Then on the day of Acts and Pentecost, it says, a sound like a rushing wind, and they were filled with the Spirit. But what happens? Pentecost is now the launch of the church. There's an outward expansion of his kingdom. He walks with his disciples, he teaches them, and he says, receive now the breath of life. And then suddenly an expansion started to take place. But it's first, the breath, the wind came first. Then the bold preaching and the signs and the miracles and the healings and salvations followed after that. So first, the breath of God. Zechariah 4:6 says this, come on, God advances the kingdom not by might, but by his spirit. The breath of God manifests the nature of the king. John 20:22 says, and he breathed on them, says, receive the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus didn't just breathe on them to send them. When he breathed on them, he was imparting something of himself into them. So you need the breath of God to manifest the king's nature in you. The culture of the kingdom is revealed when the spirit-filled people live out the character of the king. The culture of the kingdom is revealed when we as spiritful, those having the breath, live out the character of the king. The breath of God conquers and judges. Isaiah 11:4 says, he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. So when God breathes, something happens. Come on. The breath of God brings judgment. It purges you from evil. It realigns creation with righteousness. That's the breath of God. The breath of God cleanses the atmosphere. It removes opposition to the reign of God. Come on, when the Spirit breathes, strongholds break. That's why we need the breath of God. That's why sometimes we blow even prophetically over people when we minister. It's to release that what prophetically, the breath of God. So there's a cleansing and there's a judging, there's a conquering that takes place when God's breath moves. The breath of God sustains the kingdom within us. It sustains the kingdom within us. Romans 14 says, the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. These are not just emotions. Come on, it's not that. Have you ever thought that righteousness, peace, and joy, that's not natural emotions? Because if you and the world, you don't have God, those emotions doesn't come naturally. You don't just have peace and joy and righteousness and all these things. It's something that God produces within us because you carry the breath of life. You know that? So that's spirit-breathed realities. You live in the kingdom by living in step with the breath of God. Without the Spirit of God, kingdom becomes a concept rather than a reality. Kingdom is not just a concept, it's a reality. The spirit world is actually more real than what we are sitting here today. But we forget because we become so earthly minded that we forget what God is doing. He says, although you are here on earth, you come from another place. Sent with purpose, sent with dominion, sent with the breath of God. Last thing, then we're going to end off. The breath of God aligns the church with the kingdom. Ezekiel 37, again, the army of bones that come up. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. It's a picture of disconnected believers. But when God's Spirit breathed upon them, come on, they aligned into function. And like the church, we are a body and a structure, but so often we don't carry the breath of God. And God wants to breathe on the church in this season again. God wants to breathe that we become a voice, that we can release that sound of heaven. But again, it's what's God's agenda, because he says, when you pray, let it manifest on earth as it is in heaven. But do you know what's heaven's pattern? Do you know what's heaven's agenda? Because God breathes on things, and that's what's from heaven breathing on us. But then you need to be aligned, you need to understand every season on what is God breathing, that you can align with that. That you can release that. That you can even prophetically blow like God blows with his wind and his spirit and his word, so that it can manifest. The kingdom of God, the church, can only manifest the kingdom of God when it's filled with the breath of God. We need the breath of God back in the church. You see, we cannot separate the breath of God from the government of God. If we want to see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, you need to receive that what comes from heaven. His pneuma, his spirit, his Holy Spirit. You need to carry that. You cannot function separated from that. That's the heart this morning. Is that God breathes on certain things. We'll get more significant and more prophetic on what is God breathing on in this season. I wanted to start laying a foundation on that we need the breath of God. That's what's bringing life. It creates, it revives, it brings structure. It ordains us, it cleanses us. But we need the breath of God, isn't it? We need it. We cannot function. You are formed to function. One of my questions this morning is, are you formed but you're not filled? Are you formed but not filled? Come on, you need to ask God to breathe new life into you. And after this, we're going to pray for you. If you feel like you're formed but you're not filled with the Spirit, not filled with the breath, you need to come. All right? Or if you're dry and weary, if you're empty, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and revive you, a breath of reviving. You need to come. Let us pray, let us release a new life, a new breath over you. Maybe you're okay, maybe you're in a new season, or you're waiting on God to move into something new. But then you need to make sure, is God breathing on that? Wait for that. Wait, trust God. Don't just move because you've got systems and structures in place. Because like the fluid, as I said, even if you have a structure, but God's breath is not moving through that and there's no harmony, it's making not a beautiful sound. It's making a mess. It's chaos. But God created you to make something beautiful, to glorify Him out of your life. But then you need the breath of God and to be in unity with Him, one with Him. Come on, let's pray. Father, our hearts are this morning is to be one with You and to receive the breath of God in a new way. To understand that, Father, it's the breath that gives life. It's the breath, as we declare, that even makes us intelligent. Without the breath, we're returning to dust. So we need Your breath, Lord. Father, we ask that You forgive us that for so long we try to operate in places without the breath of God, without the wind of God, without the Spirit that brings life. I want you this morning first to see your family and that God wants to come and release a new breath over your family, over your house. If you don't have family anymore, maybe you're alone. God says, I make a home for the lonely, for the broken. That you belong to a family. Let God breathe some new life into you this morning. Let God breathe some new life into you. See, we can do many things, but you can fix your eyes this morning on Him to say, Lord, let You come and release a breath of heaven over us. I receive that this morning. We receive that, Father, the breath of life, breath of heaven. God wants to break systems. I declare over you, God wants to break artificial breathing over you this morning and release the breath of life again. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't be so afraid of what's going to happen. Some of us, we've been relying on this artificial system so much that we're too afraid to let go. God's going to fill you with His breath that brings life, that sustains. Thank you, Jesus. Just listen to this. If you need new life, if you need new beginnings, we know the number 8 represents new beginnings, isn't it? New beginnings. The number for oxygen is 8. And every oxygen cell consists of 8 protons, 8 neutrons, 8 electrons. The breath of God carries new beginnings and new life. Even in a periodic table, God can write a script. Trust Him. Even in the natural, as you take a breath of life, God is in it. Thank You, Father. This morning we come and we put our trust again in You, for You are faithful and You are good. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.